On. Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning to our little crew here at church, and good morning to all those that are watching online at home. It's good to have you with us this morning. It's nice. I was saying this morning, we're going to give the drums a go again this morning. It's been a while. In the Psalms, it says to praise God with the drums. It's in the Bible. There you go. So how good's that? Good to have Chris with us to join us this morning. So enjoy. We're going to start with singing about the God who's done great things, and we know he's going to turn up again. The God who's promised to continue doing good things for us. Sending Jesus to die for us so that we can go to heaven and we can be right with you. We want to thank you for your love for every person, and we just recognize that you will do great things again. You're going to keep doing things. You're going to keep loving your church, and you're going to keep loving people all the way till you come again, Jesus. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God is a God of amazing grace, a God who didn't leave us in punishment. He could have. But instead, he's a God who loved us and forgave us. It's amazing grace.
who breaks the power lost in the darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole world with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you have taken my place. That you have bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Jesus, I'm saying for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes me orphan, a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Yeah, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. Oh, you laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I'm saying for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, this is amazing grace. This is a filling love that you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me.
All he's done for us, God of amazing grace. Okay, we're going to have communion together now. And if you're at home and you haven't got something, go and grab just a biscuit or a bit of bread and something you can share together to have communion with us. And those that are here, we've got these little pre-packed ones ready, and we're going to enjoy communion together. So here we have this special meal, and it's a meal that Jesus started, and he started this meal so that the church would make sure they remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He thought the church needs to make sure they keep Jesus as the most important thing. All these extra things, he wanted this to be the main thing. And he gave these two simple symbols. He gave the symbol of bread, that representing his body that was broken when he died on the cross. And he gave the symbol of wine or juice that we've got here, representing his blood that was shed. Because he was the sacrifice that took our place. And so Jesus gave us this special meal together. I want to read a couple of verses to you. Hopefully they're going to come up on the screen for me because I've got my Bible over there. Sam, can you just put that next picture up on the screen for me? 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 20 from the New Living Translation. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. I want to just mention this word reconciliation. And it's a word that's used here, and it's a word that it means being restored to right relationship. That's what the word means, the basic meaning. Relationship is restored. And so when Jesus died on the cross, our relationship with God was restored, reconciled. We were made right. So before we were against God, when Jesus died, we now can be reconciled. We can be in right relationship with the living God. Now, note also there in there, it talks that we've been given a ministry of reconciliation. So we're to take this message, and the word there it uses is we are Christ, we are Jesus's ambassadors. That's interesting, isn't it? So if we're reconciliation, we're showing people what it looks like to be reconciled to God, it also means that we should be reconciled to our neighbour, to each other, right? If we're going to show people what reconciliation looks like, we're going to love people. Now, we've seen some pretty crazy things in our world recently, haven't we? And we're seeing some really sad things. And I'll mention something in that for prayer later on. But we're seeing a lot of animosity instead of reconciliation. We're seeing hatred instead of reconciliation. Well, the church is supposed to be a place that shows people that all people are loved. Remember last week, if you're here, we celebrated the coming of the Holy Spirit. And was it for just one race? Remember, they heard it in all the different languages. They heard all the languages of the different groups talking about Jesus. Everyone, every single person, every gender, every race, young and old, all created in the image of God and loved by God. And so in communion here, we celebrate that we have been reconciled to God, that we have been made right relationship with God. Okay, that relationship's not broken. It's together. But we also recognize we've been given this ministry to go and tell people about that by showing people about how we love each other, right? This is what we should be doing. We should be showing people the way of love. You know, in 1 Corinthians, when the Apostle Paul talks about this communion meal, how the church kept having it, and still here we are 2,000 years about later, still having this meal, when he talked about it, there's a verse there that says that people should examine themselves before they have this meal. You've probably heard of this verse. A few of you heard of that verse before. And you might have been taught about it, that you're supposed to kind of come to communion and examine yourself and see if you're good enough, right? Because if you've got sin in your life, well, maybe you shouldn't have it today. Well, if all the broken people and the sinners shouldn't have communion today, guess what? None of us can have it. None of us are perfect. So it can't be what that verse means to me. Now, we certainly should examine ourselves and think about our relationship with God, but we don't come here and go, now, if you in good conscience don't want to take this meal, that's fine. You've got to do that with God. I'm not telling you you have to have it. But to me, the idea that somehow I've got to be good enough to have this meal just seems absolutely against the whole idea of the meal, which is Jesus was good enough. You've been made right with God by Jesus. And it's interesting in that passage in 1 Corinthians, the whole context of that verse of examining yourself is in the context of a church where the rich and the poor were separated and people weren't be treating each other well. And that's when the Apostle Paul says, examine yourself. That maybe what he's really talking about there, if you go and read that passage in 1 Corinthians 11, the whole section's about how the church wasn't loving each other and caring for each other. And maybe in there, when he's talking about examining yourself, the key to it is loving your church, your brother and sister in Christ, right? And so when you examine yourself this morning, yes, you examine your relationship with God, but you really also examine your relationship with your brother and sister in Christ, and you make sure you don't have anything there that you need to ask God for help with. But the main thing is, it's a table of grace where we celebrate that even though we've made mistakes, we've been reconciled, we've been made right with God because Jesus died for us. His body that was broken, represented in the bread. Blood that was shed, represented in the juice. And so let me pray. And then after I pray, whenever you're ready, if you're at home or you're here, take your bread and your juice and just have it whenever you're ready. And I would encourage you to be thankful that you've been reconciled, you're made right with God, but also examine and pray that we can, as a church, love each other above and beyond what the ordinary person does. and we can show people a better way. Instead of hatred, we can show inclusion and acceptance and love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this meal. We want to thank you for the simple symbols of bread representing your body, Jesus, that was broken as you were nailed on that cross, and the juice representing your blood that was shed. And we thank you for this special meal that we take together to remember that all people are only saved by the death and resurrection of Jesus. There's no other way to be reconciled, no other way to be made right relationship with God than through Jesus Christ. And so we want to thank you for that gift. It was given as a gift, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We thank you for that truth. We thank you for this meal. And we pray as we celebrate our right relationship with you, God, we would continually examine ourselves and ask how we are loving our church family, how we are showing the world a better way. In a world full of violence and hatred, we're going to show love and grace and forgiveness and acceptance. We're going to show people how to love in our church family because you first loved us, God. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So whenever you're ready, whatever form you've got at home or here, take the bread, take the juice, and give thanks to God. Romans 8:1 says there's now no judgment on those that have accepted Jesus. No judgment on us that have accepted Jesus. Only love and grace and eternal life in heaven to come. We thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. Thank you that you died for us. Thank you that you rose again. Thank you that you're going to take us to heaven because of what you did, Jesus. And so we pray as you have loved us, we would go and love our neighbor and show people what it means to really care about each other in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a song now. I think I got the order right. I think I do. Yes, we're going to sing a song that reminds us of what we've just taken here together.
Broken and poured out, all for love, the whole earth.
Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel. The rescue for sinners and the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, the Lord of all. Jesus Messiah, the Lord of all.
Right. Well, before we have our Bible reading and the message, a couple of things happening in church life. Well, we like to give thanks in our church. On my little list, I don't know if I've missed any, but Michelle Fricker and Sue Marrant had birthdays on the same day on Wednesday. Happy birthday to Michelle and Sue. And today's Terry Fong's birthday. Happy birthday to Terry. And also Cooper, which is the Davies grandchild that they bring along to church too. So happy birthday to those people. I hope you had a great day and enjoy those days. Lots to celebrate. And amidst the celebrations, and we're also sad, and I would think to see some of the things going on in our world, right? And it's a very sad thing. And I guess for myself, I think we should be as a church speaking out against any forms of racism, any poor treatment of people. The church, the Bible says to stand up for those who can't stand up for themselves, and we should be standing up. But what we also should be doing is doing that peacefully, right? And I wish more leaders were also, while speaking up against racism, would also be speaking up against violence and hatred. And at the same time, as while we're standing up for that, you might not have seen the news that a policeman was shot to death in the protests, three policemen stabbed, people, so all these things happening to police in the name of this. And so there's these two issues happening. And for me, I wish leaders would speak into both of them, speak up against racism and violence against people, any people. Every person deserves to be treated with kindness and fairness and justice. People should pay for their crimes, whether they're police or anything, right? In this world, in the world to come, we can be forgiven for anything with Jesus Christ. In this world, there are consequences in this world for your actions. And people should face the consequences of their actions. But that should not result in violence. And I wish leaders would also stand up against that and say, this is not the way. It's not the way of God, is it? God loves all people, and he would be against racism. He would want to speak up for any people that are oppressed and put down. God would want to speak up for them, and we want the church to speak up. But he would also say that God would say, it is mine to avenge. That's what the Bible says. That God, it's his to avenge, not ours to do violence and things. And so that's sad to see. And so that would be my heart, church, in the midst of this really difficult time, is that we would stand up for those that are hurting, for the mistreatment of people. Anyone that's mistreated because of their race, their gender, or anything else, people should not be hated. People should be loved and respected. And even when they've done the wrong thing, they should be treated in a way that's fair and just and not attacked. But I will also say, violence is not the answer. It's not the way of God, and I'll leave God to do that. So let's just pray into that really difficult situation that's happening around our world. Heavenly Father, we have seen the brokenness of humankind in recent weeks. And it's what the Bible says, that there is brokenness and sin. So in some ways, we're not surprised to see things that are happening in our world. And yet it saddens us, God. It saddens us when people treat people poorly because of the color of their skin, where they are born. It saddens us, God, to see that people can't understand that you created all people in your image to be loved and cared for. It saddens us, God, to see even when those in authority treat people how they shouldn't. That saddens us too, God. And it also saddens us to see a response with violence, for hatred and violence against our police, Lord. We pray your protection over them. Lord, we would just ask that you would help us to have that ministry of reconciliation that we've just shared, that as a church, and even where we live, God, we know we live in a very white European area. We don't have a lot of multiculturalism here, Lord, but we still have opportunities where we move in circles to show people that all people matter. All people are important. So help us to do that as a church, we pray, God. And Lord, I do pray for my friends that are in pastors, particularly in parts of Sydney where they've got a whole blend of cultures there. It's really exciting at times. Help them to show as a church the way to love each other from different cultures. Pray your blessing on some of those churches. I have a friend that has 45 different cultures in their church. I pray your blessing on him, God. May they be an example of reconciliation and peace. We also pray, God, against retaliation, against violent protests. We pray for peaceful protests, for peaceful voices. We pray protection for our police and even in our own area. We pray for protection for our police. And we do think of Peter Romans as well, who has some authority in Belmont Police. We would pray your wisdom be upon him, God, as he seeks to be a leader there as well. So, Lord, help us to be an example to a world that's showing hatred and violence. Help us to be an example of peace and reconciliation. Help us to speak out against racism, but in a way that honors you, God, and believes it is yours to do justice, God, not ours. So, Lord, heal our broken world. Help the church to be an example of peace when there is hatred and violence, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. And if you want to chat further about that, just make sure you're always getting the facts. The news likes to throw little things at us. And just make sure you're always going and praying and thinking through what is really happening as we speak out on these issues. All right, a couple of things just in church, just to let you know, Luke Fricker's on holidays this weekend till next Sunday. So just give him a bit of peace this week. If you're thinking I want to catch up with Luke, maybe wait till after next weekend. He's having a bit of a break. And especially, I think, with not too far, a little baby on the way. And you're praying for those. Don't forget, we can have 50 at church. So we've got a few more today, a little growing number. We can have a few more next week if more people want to come. And this week is a Bible study week, so not Wednesday devotions. It's home group week this week. And so get in your home groups, get involved, whether that's online, through Messenger, ringing each other up. Let's support and encourage each other this week in our home groups. All right. All right, we've got the bobbery now. Caleb's going to do that. I'm going to do the right thing and wipe down the microphone for you there, Caleb. There you go. Doing the right thing and not spreading any germs. It's all nice and wet now with sanitizer. So Caleb's going to bring the reading for us.
Good morning, church. The Bible reading comes from Philippians 4, 4-9. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you.
Yeah, cool. All right, can we get those slides up, Sam, so that I can see where I'm following along there? We'll come to the last week. This is our series we've been doing called Calm. And I hope you've been enjoying thinking through some of this based on that passage that was just read again for us in Philippians. Anxious for nothing, finding calm in a chaotic world. And it certainly is a chaotic world, isn't it, at the moment? Chaos all around us. And we're talking about being anxious for nothing. And in that, we've been using this acronym, the next slide there, please. We've been using this, based on this book from Max Lucado, this acronym, CALM. CALM. And we all have struggles in life, health, finances, relationships, family, work. There's a whole lot. Every one of us isn't going to just sail through with everything going exactly how we like. We're all going to face some challenges. And this, based on Philippians 4, this is a little acronym that helps us think about how we can move towards the peace of God and being free from anxiety. And it's based on this acronym CALM. Now, we started with celebrate God's goodness. And we said the two key things to celebrate when you're anxious or fearful or worried is to celebrate that God's in control and that he's merciful. He's in charge of everything and he loves you and he's forgiven you. So he's got the best plans for you. So we celebrate. God's in control. He loves me. And that's what we're going to do. That's where we always start when it comes to anxiousness, concerns in our life. Start with God and get him right. The next thing we do is we actually ask God for help. We say, God, we need your help. And we talked about praying specific prayers, not just going, God, bless me, off I go. Praying specific prayers that God can answer and praying for things that we know he's going to say yes to. He doesn't say yes to everything. He might say, I want to walk out of church in a Ferrari parked out the front. And probably the answer is going to be no. You never know. Try your luck. Pause. Let's God, Ferraris all around. You never know. Probably God's going to say that's not the best thing for you. But there are some things you know he wants. He wants the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He wants you to have courage in your workplace of faith. He wants you to remember him and honor him. So pray when you ask God for help. Don't just say, fix this, fix this, fix this. Also say, God, I need you to help me have faith here. I need peace. I need love in that situation. Now, the next bit's a bit that's a little bit hard. We talked about the other week, leaving it with him. We carry these heavy backpacks of anxiety and we ask God for help, but then we don't take the backpack off. And we still carry it around, carrying that burden, instead of taking it off and going, look, I'm thankful, God, for everything you're doing. With thankfulness, I'm going to take this off. You're going to look after it. You've got to be able to take that heavy backpack of anxiety off and give it to God. Well, today we're coming to the last part. Meditate on good things. Meditate on good things. And it's taken particularly, if you look in that Philippians 4 from verse 8, it says in the New Living Translation, now, brothers and sisters, one final thing. So this is the last thing in the path to peace and not being anxious. One final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. One final thought. The last piece to the puzzle. Now, meditation's become a little bit popular in our culture with New Age and following Eastern philosophies and all sorts of things like that. Sadly, instead of following God's way of meditation, I think, but that's a whole other story. I've had kids come home from kindergarten and say, oh, we did meditation and relaxation. You wouldn't have got that in kindergarten, would you, some of your people? And so it's following a lot of, sadly, all these New Age things and things because they've stolen it from Christianity. The Bible talks about meditating on God and God's word. So there's nothing wrong with meditation. Meditation is this focused thinking on a particular thought, a particular thing. The Bible talks about meditating on God's word, this Christian meditation. And so finding our calm, the last piece of finding peace, there you go, that's pretty good, isn't it? Last piece of finding peace is to think about what you think about. Think about what you think about. We've all got this conversation going on in our heads all day, every one of us. Imagine if we all had to walk around with a little TV screen, you know, displaying the conversation that's going on in your head. I don't know what your movie would be like. I'd be a bit concerned about my movie. We've all got this conversation going on in your head. And the last thing that affects that past peace, we've celebrated God. We've asked him for help. We've left it with him. And now we've got to think about what we think about. Meditate on good things. Now listen to the list again. Talk about emphasizing this. Did you hear all those words? Here's what you've got to think about again. Listen in verse 8. True, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and worthy of praise. Now, there's a list, isn't it? Now, did you know you can gain control over your thoughts? Not perfectly. None of us are perfect. But you can change the way you think with God's help. You can do some things to help you. If you pray and sing, memorize scripture, spend time talking about faith with other Christians, you're going to be thinking about different things, aren't you? We've got little Stefan, you know, in year one and often will start bouncing around the house with some weirdly kind of worded worship song that he's got some of the words right to. I don't know. I'm sure Thomas has got a few, Marley, that he gets most of the words right maybe. I don't know, some. It's because you've had that stuff somewhere playing, right? So it's in there. Thoughts. Think about what you're thinking about. I remember growing up, I went to lots of little Sunday school camps and Christian camps as a kid. We often spent our holidays, normally with my family running them, doing something. That was, we grew up doing those sort of things. And across the week, there was like five Bible verses you had to learn. And then you got all these prizes and chocolates and lollies. Man, I learnt those verses every time. I was going to get the chocolate. And by the end of the week, I was number one. I could learn every verse. Now my brain doesn't seem to work quite as good, but that's okay. I was chatting with my friend Bright in India, and some of the team, he sent some videos to the team and then some to me. They've got over there while they're trying to work out what to do in isolation. First of all, the kids had to write, I think it was like 20 songs each or something they had to write. The kids all had to write 20 songs. And then they all had to memorize, not a verse, the whole of Psalm 91, which is like, I don't know, 15 verses or something. Here's all the kids coming up. He sent me a video of some of the kids reading Psalm 91, the whole off by heart. You know, and we struggle to learn one verse. You know, think about what you think about. You know, and one of the things I'm going to ask you to do this week is just to learn one verse. Philippians 4:6. We've been thinking about it. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. If you haven't been in the habit of learning a Bible verse, you've got to get on it. We seem to somehow have thought, it seems to me that we've thought this is for kids. You know, this is what you do when you're at Sunday school camp, right? You learn the Bible verse and you get a jelly bean. I tell you what, if you would learn a Bible verse, even one a week, one a day, it'd be great. You will see your thoughts will start to change. They will. I've got some written on my blackboard in my office that I like up there, all sorts of things. You can change the way you think. Next slide, please, Sam. Colossians 3:2 says this. You can have it on the screen. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Think, you see, it's talking about what you think about. Think about the things of heaven. Think about God things, not just on the latest thing you're looking at. The next verse, please. Romans 12:2 says this. Here it comes. Don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Well, the people here that can see, it's of your mind. So think about what you're thinking about. This is the path to peace, the final peace. Celebrate God's goodness. Ask him for help. Leave it with him, and then think about what you think about. Meditate on good things. You know, the devil knows the power of thoughts. He loves to put thoughts in your mind that are not from God. He's a champion at it. We're told in the Bible he's the father of lies. He loves to put things into your head that are not true. That's one of his favorite ways of attacking us. We often think attacks come, you know, or just physical forms of sickness, but I reckon one of his favorite ways of attacking people is that he puts thoughts in your head that are not of God. Max Lucado uses the image in his book of an air traffic controller. You know, you go to the airport and watch the planes all flying around, and he says, you see all the planes flying in and you have these things coming in, thoughts coming into your mind, and you get to decide whether you're going to actually take that in and take that on board or whether you're going to reject it. You can't stop them flying because he's always prowling around. We're all going to get tempted, aren't we? And we're going to get it wrong sometimes. We all get tempted, every one of us. But you can hear that temptation and decide if that voice, that thought is from God or it's not from God, and you can say that plane's not landing, right? That plane's not landing. Something happens, the doctor calls and says, I need you to come in and see me next week. Straight away, your mind starts getting anxious, all the things, this could happen, that could happen, that could happen, that could happen. You've allowed that plane of anxiety to come and land in, that thought to penetrate into your heart. And you need to go to your calm. Give thanks for God. Celebrate God's goodness. Ask him for help. Leave it with him. And then think about some good things instead of all the bad things. I think what we need, Samantha's doing the sound up the back there, and she's got these really awesome sound-canceling headphones. I think she wants to bring them home for the kids. They're special headphones that cancel out all the extra noise that you don't want to hear, right? I think we need some devil-canceling headphones this morning to stop the lies that we're allowing fly in and listen to. Think about what you think about. It's the enemy that speaks fear and anxiety and worry. That's not from God. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and self-control. That's what God's given us. Think about what's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, worthy of praise. Now, that's a big list to remember, isn't it? Every time something happens, I've got to think about true, right, noble. There's an easier way. If I have the next slide, please. Instead of going through a list and a checklist, here's the way the Bible says is how you do it. Cling to Jesus. Stick with Jesus, and this is how your thoughts are going to be transformed and you're going to move to the path of peace. I want to read to you from John 15, verses 4 to 10. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Now, in the NLT, it's the word remain, right? So do you hear that word over and over and over? Remain. In the NIV, I think the word's abide. It's a word that in that verse, little 10 verses, 7 verses, 10 times that same word is used by Jesus. To remain, just stick with Jesus, to be thinking about Jesus, to be doing things that help remind you of who Jesus is, to have a level of intimacy in your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You get up in the morning, you watch a bit of TV, you check your Facebook messages, maybe you flick on the news headlines, get a cuppa, maybe play a few games on your phone, and then you head off to work, and you wonder why your thoughts all day are not helpful and true and good. It sounds simple, but this is the fact. When you're talking about the path of peace and thinking about what you think about, you've got to feed your relationship with Jesus so that then your thinking is transformed, right? You just got to. Now, some of you aren't morning people. What about the people here? Who's a morning person or who's morning people, like getting up early? Yeah, a few of you, yeah, yeah. Yeah, run the steps, right, Lynn? Up there, yeah, jump there. Yeah. Mornings are hard for some people. But even if you're not a morning person, I want to tell you, start the day with something that sets your mind thinking about right things. Even if you think, you know, I want to sit down with God in the evening for 15 minutes and read my Bible and pray, that's fine. But do something when you start your day that, listen to a worship song, learn a Bible verse. Do something where your day starts and you start to train your thoughts on Jesus. And then your thoughts throughout the day will be changed. If you just get going in the day and you do all those other things, I'm telling you now, your thought pattern will not be fixed on Jesus. I mean, it seems pretty simple stuff, doesn't it? And yet all of us, myself included, can get distracted. If you want to have the path to peace, you've got to celebrate God, ask him for help, leave it with him, but you've got to think about what you think about. And the only way to change what's going on through your mind is to meditate on good things, to spend some time thinking about who God is. Doing some things through worship, prayer. I'm telling you, learn some Bible verses. I'll say it again. I'm telling you, learn some Bible verses. It's been the key for me. I don't get this right all the time. I'm not perfect. I often get worried or anxious. But when I get it right, Bible verses are recalling in my mind. So I guess there's different ways you can do that. Write down a bit of paper. Get a blackboard like me in your office. I don't know what you've got to do. But if you really want to move out of the path of anxiety, this is the last piece. You've got to meditate on good things. You've got to feed yourself with good things. If all you do is feed your mind and your eyes with rubbish and your ears with rubbish, that's what your thoughts are going to produce. Rubbish tip. But if you feed it with good things, things that are good and true and right, praiseworthy, it's going to change the way you think. The end of this passage, we've been looking at verses 4-8 and in Philippians, and then it gets to verse 9, and after we've done all those things, we've celebrated God's goodness, we've asked him for help, we've left it with him, and we've meditated on good things. This is what the Apostle Paul, writing this letter, says: keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. God of peace will be with you. If you follow this biblical pattern and you do these things, you are going to go a long way to not being anxious and fearful and worried. You're going to go a long way when bad things and difficult things come in your life, more quickly moving out of feeling anxious to feeling peaceful. And you're going to be some of the people that I've seen, and I've seen people who in the midst of a crisis in life somehow manage to say, I've got the peace of God and God's in control. And I'm thankful for those people. I don't know if the Van Shelvins are watching online there today, but you're one of those people that I've sat with in hospital beds in great difficulty and been able to say, God's in control. And I thank you for that lesson. There's other people in our church that have done that. I've been spending some time with Myra, who's really struggling and could go to Jesus anytime, who knows, and saying, I know where I'm going. What do people do when they don't have God when they're dying, she says. Thank you, Myra, for your faith, for being calm, because your whole life you've been thinking on good things. This is what happens. We get these people around us that have the peace of God, and it's not an accident. They've been celebrating God. They've been saying, God, you're in control. I thank you for that you love me. They've been asking God for help in their life. They've been leaving it. They've been thankful people, leaving it with God with thankfulness. And they've been thinking about good things, not just all the fear that they're not letting just Satan bring fear in. And I'm so thankful for those people. I don't know about you. I want to be one of those people. When a crisis comes, I want to be calm. I don't want to be anxious. I don't want to be panicked. I want to be able to be calm. So if you do, I want you to go and just think today, what's one thing you might be able to do out of this series? But listen, if you can do one thing for me, go and learn. Let's learn one Bible verse. Philippians 4:6. Not that long. It's pretty easy. Be anxious about nothing. Instead, pray. Ask God for help. Leave your concerns with him with thankfulness. There's another version. You can do your version. Let's see if we can at least get Philippians 4:6 in our heads as a church. One verse. Will you manage that? Maybe some of you can go and learn Psalm 91, like the Indian orphans. I'd like to see that. If you do that, let me know next week. You can do it on camera if you can learn the whole of Psalm 91. There are people that can memorize whole books of Bible. That's amazing, right? I can't do that. But let's find our calm in a sense of a chaotic world. Let's show people that when things are going wrong, we can still find our peace in God. Let's pray and let's sing about God's goodness. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your love for us. We celebrate you are good. You are in control and you love us. Those two things start to bring calm to us. And God, in the midst of difficulty, we ask you for help. You care about us. We ask you to change circumstances and we ask you to give us faith and courage and love and hope even when we're facing difficulty. And we ask you to help us to leave it with you, to hand it over to you, to take the backpack of anxiety and say, it's not mine to carry. God, we're thankful for all you're doing. We're thankful for all you're doing. Leave it with you. And then, God, help us to meditate on good things. Help us, God, to change some of our behaviors and the patterns of what we do so that we can fill our hearts and our minds with good things, so that we can reject, we can put on our devil-canceling headphones and reject those thoughts that are trying to get in that are not true. Lord, help us to instead hear the voice of God that's saying you're loved, you matter, you're important, you're valued, always cared for. Help us to hear that voice, we pray. Bring your peace to any that are feeling anxious. Even this morning right now, there'll be some that have a whole lot of worries and anxiousness. There'll be people watching online. There'll be people even sitting in this room that have faced some challenges. May your peace, God, invade their hearts, that they will have the peace of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I sing his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance filled by heavy stone, a silence still and all alone. All praise the name of the Lord our God. Joining us either here or online today. Samantha is going to put you in groups after the song. Go and make yourself a cup of tea at home. We'd really encourage you to do that. Just hit join group and just say hi to some people from church in your little group online. So, and she's going to put on the UK blessing if you haven't seen that video. Just a beautiful video done in the UK by all the churches celebrating that blessing from the Bible. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And it's a beautiful thing. So bless your church. Let me know if you needed anything for prayer. If people want me, some people don't want me to come and see them yet. Some people do. If you want me to come and have a cuppa with you, please let me know. I'd love to come and have a chat and a prayer with you if you'd like to. But happy just to do that over the phone as well if you'd need to at this stage. But yeah, God bless you all. So the song's going to come on. Make yourself a cuppa, and then we'll put you in groups to have a chat. God bless.
blessing. Manna rained down from heaven. This isn't second guessing. We know that we are protected. May the peace that surpasses all understanding be our message. Grace and favors in your nature, in your essence.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and the children, and the children. His favor.